Sometimes it is found in places like Vrindavan that a person with a slight devotional attitude of neutral love for Krishna may immediately and artificially try to attain to the platform of conjugal love. But because of the incompatibility of neutrality and conjugal love, the person is found to fall from the standard of devotional service. Incompatibility was expressed by a great devotee on the platform of neutrality when he sarcastically prayed, quote, "I am very anxious to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is many millions of times more affectionate than the Pitas, or forefathers, in the Pitraloka, and who is always worshipped by the great demigods and sages. I am a little surprised, however, that although Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune, his body is often marked with the nail pricks of ordinary society girls." Unquote. Here is an example of incompatibility due to a mixture of neutrality and high conjugal love. There is the following statement by a gopi, quote, "My dear Krishna, the first thing you should do is just embrace me with your strong arms. Then, my dear friend, I shall first smell your head, and then I shall enjoy with you." Unquote. This is an example of incompatibility in which conjugal love is the whole and servitorship is the part. One devotee said, quote, "My dear Krishna, how can I address you as my son when you are addressed by the great Vedantists as the absolute truth and by the Vaishnavs who follow the principles of Narad Pancharatra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You are the same Supreme Person, so how shall my tongue be so extraordinarily bold as to address you as an ordinary son?" Unquote. In this statement, there is a mixture of neutrality and parental love, and the result is incompatible. Another devotee said, quote, "My dear friend, my youthful beauty is as temporary as lightning in the sky, and therefore my possessing attractive bodily features is unimportant. I have never met Krishna, so I request you to please arrange for my meeting him immediately." Unquote. In this statement, there is the incompatibility of a neutral mellow mixed with conjugal love. A lusty woman in Kailas once told Krishna, quote, "My dear Krishna, may you have a long life." Unquote. Then, after saying this, she embraced Krishna. This is an example of incompatibility resulting from a mixture of parental love and conjugal love. The purpose of the above analysis is to show that in the mixture of various mellows or reciprocations of ecstatic love between Krishna and the devotees, if the result is not pure, there will be incompatibility. According to the opinion of stalwart devotees like Rupa Goswami, as soon as there are contradictory feelings, the result is incompatible. Once an ordinary female devotee addressed Krishna, quote, "My dear boy, I know that my body is just a composition of flesh and blood and can never be enjoyable to you. But still, I have been so attracted by your beauty that I wish that you accept me as your conjugal lover." Unquote. In this statement, there is incompatibility caused by a mixture of ghastliness and conjugal love in devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami warns devotees not to commit such incompatibilities in their writings or in their dealings. The presence of such contradictory feelings is called rasa-basa. When there is rasa-basa in any book of Krishna consciousness, no learned scholar or devotee will accept it. In the Vidugda Madhava, second act, verse 17, Purnamasi tells Nandimukhi, quote, "Just see how wonderful it is. Great sages meditate upon Krishna after being relieved from all material transactions, and with great difficulty, they try to situate Krishna in their hearts. And opposed to this, this young girl is trying to withdraw her mind from Krishna so that she can apply it in the material activities of sense gratification. What a regrettable thing it is that this girl is trying to drive away from her heart the same Krishna who is sought after by great sages through severe austerities and perseverance." Unquote. Although in this statement there are contradictory mellows of ecstatic devotion, the result is not incompatible because the conjugal love is so elevated that it is defeating all other varieties of mellows. Srila Jiva Goswami comments in this connection that such a loving state of mind is not possible for all. It is possible only in the case of the gopis of Vrindavan. There are many other instances of contradictory mellows where there is no perverted experience of rasa-basa. Once some minor demigod of the heavenly planets remarked, quote, "Krishna, whose joking words were once the source of so much laughter for the residents of Vraja, has now been attacked by the serpent king Kaliya, and he has become the object of everyone's overwhelming lamentation." Unquote. In this instance, there is a mixture of laughter and compassion, but there is no incompatibility because by both of these rasas, the loving affection for Krishna is increased. Srimati Radharani was once told that although she had stopped all activities, she was still the supreme source of inspiration for all kinds of devotional service. The statement says, quote, "My dear Radharani, in separation from Krishna, you are now as still as the most beautiful tree, whose gracefulness is not blocked by any covering of leaves. Your tranquil mood makes you appear to be completely merged in Brahman realization." Unquote. In this example, there is a mixture of conjugal love and neutral love, but the conjugal love has surpassed everything. Actually, Brahman realization is only a stunted existence. There is the following statement by Krishna himself, quote, "Srimati Radharani has become peace personified for me. Because of her, I now go without sleep. I stare constantly without blinking my eyes, and I am always in a meditative mood. Because of her, I have even made my home in the cave of a mountain." Unquote. This is an example of conjugal love mixed with neutral love, but there is no incompatibility. The following is a conversation consisting of questions put before Rumba, a celebrated beautiful woman, and her corresponding answers. Rumba was asked, "My dear Rumba, who are you?" She answered, "I am peace personified." Question, "Then why are you in the sky?" Answer, "I am in the sky to experience the Supreme Absolute Truth." Question, "Then why are you staring?" Answer, "Just to look into the supreme beauty of the Absolute Truth." Question, "Then why do you appear to be disturbed in mind?" Answer, "Because Cupid is acting." In the above example also, there is no perverted representation of mellows, because on the whole, the ecstasy of conjugal love has exceeded the neutral position of devotional service. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 60th chapter, verse 45, Rukmini Devi said, quote, "My dear husband, A woman who has no taste for the transcendental pleasure available from your personal contact must be inclined to accept as her husband somebody who is externally a combination of mustache, beard, body hairs, fingernails, and some head hair. And within him there are muscles, bones, blood, intestinal worms, stools, mucus, bile, and similar things. Actually, such a husband is only a dead body. But due to not being attracted to your transcendental form, a woman will have to accept this combination of stools and urine for her husband. Unquote. This statement, which lists the ingredients of a material body, is not a perverted mellow in transcendental realization, because it shows correct discrimination between matter and spirit. In the Vidugdha Madhava, second act, verse 31, Krishna tells his friend, quote, "My dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is that since I have seen the beautiful lotus eyes of Srimati Radharani, I have developed a tendency to spit on the moon and the lotus flower." Unquote. This is an example of conjugal love mixed with ghastliness, but there is no incompatibility. The following is a statement which describes different mellows of devotional service. Quote, "Although Krishna was invincible to any enemy, the cowherd boys of Vrindavan became almost blackish with astonishment upon seeing his wonderful royal garments and his fighting feats on the battlefield of Kurukshetra." Unquote. In this statement, although there is a mixture of chivalrous activities and dread in devotional service, there is no perverted reflection of mellows. One resident of Mathura requested her father to bolt the doors and then go with her to the school of Sandipani Muni to find Krishna. She complained that Krishna had completely stolen her mind. In this incident, there is a mixture of conjugal love and parental love, but there is no incompatibility. A Brahmanandi, or impersonalist, expressed his desire as follows, quote, "When shall I be able to see that supreme absolute personality of Godhead, who is eternal bliss and knowledge, and whose chest has become smeared with red kumkum powder by touching the breast of Rukmini?" Unquote. Here, there is a mixture of conjugal love and neutrality. Although this is a contradiction of mellows, there is no incompatibility, because even a Brahmanandi will become attracted to Krishna. Nanda Maharaj told his wife, quote, "My dear Yashoda, although your son Krishna is as delicate and soft as the Malika flower, he has gone to kill the Keshi demon, who is as strong as a mountain. Therefore, I have become a little disturbed. But never mind, all auspiciousness to my son. I shall raise this hand, which is as strong as a pillar, and I shall kill the Keshi demon, just to give freedom from all anxieties to the inhabitants of Vrajamandala." Unquote. In this statement, there are two kinds of mellows, chivalry and dread. Both of them, however, improve the position of parental love, and therefore there is no incompatibility. In the Lalita Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami, it is stated, quote, "After Krishna's arrival in Kamsa's arena, Kamsa's priest looked at Krishna with a detestful expression. The entire arena was filled with dread on the part of Kamsa and his priest, and restless expressions of pleasure on the cheeks of Krishna's friends. Frustration was felt by his envious rivals. The great sages meditated. Hot tears were in the eyes of Devaki and other motherly ladies, and hairs stood on the bodies of the expert warriors. There was astonishment in the hearts of demigods such as Indra. The servants danced, and the restless eyes of all the young girls glanced about." Unquote. In this statement, there is a description of a combination of different mellows, but there is no incompatibility. A similar statement, which is free from incompatibility, is in the Lalita Madhava, wherein the author blesses all the readers of the book in the following manner. Quote, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to lift a mountain with a finger of his left hand, he is always humble and meek. He is always very kind to his loving devotees. He has frustrated Indra's attempt at vengeance by refusing him the sacrifice of Indra Yajna. He is the cause of all pleasure to all young girls. May he be ever compassionate upon you all. Unquote. And now chapter 51, perverted expression of mellows. Tribhuvane mannam saranyakaram nana shastri charanikanikanam. Rasa basa, or incompatible mixtures of mellows, may be classified as uparasa, false expression, anurasa, or imitation, and aparasa, or perverted or misrepresented mellows. There is the following statement by an impersonalist who had just seen Krishna. Quote, when a person has passed completely from all contamination of material existence, he relishes a transcendental bliss of being established in trance. But as soon as I saw you, the original personality of Godhead, I experienced the same bliss. Unquote. This perverted reflection of mellows is called Shanta Uparasa, or a perverted reflection of mixed impersonalism and personalism. There is another statement as follows, quote, wherever I am glancing, I simply see your personality. Therefore, I know that you are the uncontaminated Brahman effulgence, the supreme cause of all causes. I think that there is nothing but you in this cosmic manifestation, unquote. This is another example of uparasa, or a perverted reflection of impersonalism and personalism. When Madhu Mangala, an intimate friend of Krishna, was dancing before Krishna in a joking manner, no one was paying attention to him, and he jokingly said, quote, my dear Lord, please be merciful upon me. I am praying for your mercy, unquote. This is an example of uparasa in fraternal affection and neutrality. Kamsa once addressed his sister Devaki as follows, quote, my dear sister, having seen your dear son Krishna, I think that he is so strong that he can kill even wrestlers as strong as the mountains. So I will have no more anxieties about him, even if he is engaged in a terrible fight. Unquote. This is an instance of uparasa in a perverted reflection of parental love. In the Lalita Madhava, Srila Rupa Goswami says, quote, the wives of the Yajnika Brahmanas were all young girls, and they were attracted to Krishna in the same way as the gopis of Vrindavan. Out of their attraction, they distributed food to Krishna. Unquote. Here, the two devotional mellows are conjugal love and parental love, and the result is called uparasa in conjugal love. One of the friends of Srimati Radharani told her, quote, my dear friend Gandharvika, or Radharani, you were the most chaste girl in our village, but now you have divided yourself and are partially chaste and partially unchaste. It is all due to Cupid's influence upon you after you saw Krishna and heard the sound of his flute." Unquote. This is another example of uparasa caused by divided interests in conjugal love. According to some expert learned scholars, the feelings between lover and beloved create perverted reflections of mellows in many ways. Quote, "The gopis have become purified by Krishna's glance, and as such, Cupid's influence is distinctly visible on their bodies." Unquote. Although in the material sense, the glancing of a boy at a girl is a kind of pollution, when Krishna threw his transcendental glance at the gopis, they became purified. In other words, because Krishna is the absolute truth, any action by him is transcendentally pure. After Krishna chastised the Kaliya Naga in the Yamuna River by dancing on his heads, the Kaliya Naga's wives addressed Krishna, quote, "Dear cowherd boy, we are all only young wives of the Kaliya Naga, so why do you agitate our minds by sounding your flute?" Unquote. Kaliya's wives were flattering Krishna so that he would spare their husband. Therefore, this is an example of uparasa, or false expression. One devotee said, quote, "My dear Govinda, here is a nice flowery bush in Kailas. I am a young girl, and you are a young poetic boy. After this, what more can I say? You just consider." Unquote. This is an example of uparasa caused by impudence in conjugal love. When Narad Muni was passing through Vrindavan, he came to the Bandiravan forest and saw in one of the trees the famous parrot couple that always accompanies Lord Krishna. The couple was imitating some discussion they had heard upon the Vedanta philosophy, and thus were seemingly arguing upon various philosophical points. Upon seeing this, Narad Muni was struck with wonder, and he began to stare without moving his eyelids. This is an example of anurasa, or imitation. When Krishna was fleeing from the battlefield, from a distant place, Jarasandha was watching him with restless eyes and was feeling very proud. Being thus puffed up with his conquest, he was repeatedly laughing. This is an example of aparasa. Everything in connection with Krishna is called ecstatic devotional love, although it may be exhibited in different ways, sometimes in right order and sometimes as a perverted reflection. According to the opinion of all expert devotees, anything that will arouse ecstatic love for Krishna is to be taken as an impetus for transcendental mellow. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta summary study of Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami.
Priyam priyakaram nirma sarau pujitam nana shastra vicharanai kanipunam
sadharma. And now some concluding words by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami concludes by saying that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is very difficult for ordinary men to understand. Yet he hopes that Lord Krishna, the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, will be pleased with his presentation of this book. By rough calculation, it is estimated that Srila Rupa Goswami finished Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in Gokul Vrindavan in the year 1552. While physically present, Srila Rupa Goswami was living in different parts of Vrindavan, and his headquarters were in the temple of Radha Damodar in the present city of Vrindavan. The place of Rupa Goswami's bhajan, execution of devotional service, is commemorated still. There are two different tomb-like structures in the Radha Damodar temple. One structure is called his place of bhajan, and in the other, his body is entombed. Behind this very tomb, I have my place of bhajan, but since 1965, I have been away. The place, however, is being taken care of by my disciples. By Krishna's will, I am now residing at the Los Angeles Temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This purport is finished today, the 30th of June, 1969. This ends the narration of the Nectar of Devotion, the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. Written in Sanskrit by Srila Rupa Goswami in the 16th century, it was translated into English by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. In this context, the word Acharya means a person who is perfected in God consciousness and who also teaches others, by both precept and example, how to perfect themselves. The song heard at the beginning and the end of each chapter was sung by Srila Prabhupada. The musical selections, mixing, and engineering were under the direction of Neil Schlachter, and the director and narrator of this production was Amala Bhakta Das. This has been a Krishna Productions presentation. The text of the book was copyrighted by the Bhakti Vedanta Book Trust in 1982. The performance and recording were copyrighted by Amala Bhakta Das in 1991, and all rights are reserved by both parties. We hope you have enjoyed listening to this narration. If you would like to listen to other such transcendental recordings, please write or phone for our catalog. Thank you for allowing us to share with you the glorious, enlightening words of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who descended from the spiritual world to the earth to teach all humanity how to taste and relish the nectar of devotion and thereby realize God through loving service to Him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghunjaga Sri Jiva Gopalaka Krishna Ketana Kanana Tanapara Premamritam Banidhi